All right, so credit scores. They can feel a bit like, one of those magic tricks?
Right.
Where'd the rabbit go? How did they pull that off?
Yeah.
They hold a lot of power, that's for sure. That three-digit number, like, oh, it's a big deal.
Huge.
And we're going deep today, uncovering the secrets
Absolutely.
behind this mysterious credit score. We're looking at understandingcreditscores.pdf today.
Great source.
It's a good one. And, we're going to explore what it really means, what really matters, so you can feel confident about, managing your credit.
Absolutely. I think it's really easy to feel like you're getting lost in all the jargon and all the complexity. But when you boil it all down, a credit score really is like a financial report card. It's showing lenders how likely you are to repay money that you borrow. Think of it almost like you're a teacher grading a student's work. You would look at past performance, how much effort they're putting in, their overall track record. A credit score is doing something very similar. It's just looking at your financial history.
Okay, so it's not just some abstract number.
Right.
It really is a reflection of our financial behavior.
Exactly.
But why should we even care so much about it? Like, what impact does it have on, our real lives?
Well, think about it like this: a good credit score is going to open up doors to all sorts of better financial opportunities. If you're applying for a loan to, let's say, buy a house,
That's a big one.
a car, right?
Yeah.
A high credit score could mean the difference between getting approved at a really great interest rate or, on the other hand, facing rejection or having to pay a much higher cost.
Oh, yeah.
So it really comes down to saving money, accessing those better terms. It gives you more financial freedom.
Makes total sense. It's like, you said it's a golden ticket
Yeah.
to the financial world. But how do we even know what a good score is? Like, where's the bar? And how do they even come up with this number in the first place?
Well, the range that you're typically looking at is between 300 and 850. Higher is better, always better.
Gotcha.
A score of, let's say, 750, that's usually viewed as like excellent creditworthiness.
Yeah.
And this is where we talk about something called the FICO score.
Okay.
It's the most widely used credit scoring model.
Yeah.
You can almost think about it like the gold standard for a lot of lenders.
Yeah.
And what's really interesting is it's based on five key factors. And each one actually carries a different level of importance.
Okay. So, like, we've got our recipe here.
Yeah, exactly.
Five magic ingredients. That's going to determine our financial fate. What are they?
All right. So the most important, the one that really makes up a big chunk, we're talking 35%
Wow.
of your FICO score, is your payment history. This is like showing up on time for every exam, turning in your assignments. Lenders really want to see that consistency, that reliability.
Makes sense. So paying bills on time, super crucial. But what about, the amounts that we owe? How much is too much in the eyes of, a credit score?
Okay, so that's actually the second most important factor.
Okay.
It makes up 30% of your score. It's the amount that you owe.
Okay.
But it's not just about like the total debt. It's also about how much of your available credit you're using.
Right.
This is what's called your credit utilization ratio. And it's you can almost think about it like showing your teacher that you can manage a heavy workload without getting too overwhelmed.
I've heard of that before, credit utilization ratio.
Yeah.
I've always been kind of fuzzy on like the details. How do they even calculate that, and why is it so important?
Yeah, for sure. So let's imagine you've got a credit card with a $1,000 limit
Okay.
and you've charged $500 to it. So your credit utilization ratio would be 50%.
Okay.
Now, lenders are going to look at a higher ratio like that as a bit of a red flag
Oh, really?
because it might suggest that you're relying pretty heavily on credit and you might be at risk of overspending.
Oh, I
So
see.
it's almost
Yeah.
like you're packing a suitcase. You don't want to cram everything in there and risk like a zipper
All
explosion.
right.
You want a little bit of room to spare.
Breathing room.
Exactly. So the general rule of thumb is to aim for a utilization ratio that's below 30%.
Oh, okay.
So in our example there, keeping that balance under $300, that would be ideal.
Gotcha. So we've covered payment history and how much we owe. What's the next ingredient in the mix here?
Okay, so number three.
Number three.
This one makes up 15% of your FICO score.
Okay.
This is the length of your credit history. And it really boils down to time, building that trust. The longer you've had credit accounts and used them responsibly, the more data lenders have to look at to figure out how risky are you.
It's like almost like building a garden. You need time, patience, consistent care to see those fruits of your labor.
Absolutely. And it's a great analogy. Just like a gardener wouldn't expect a huge harvest overnight. Building good credit, it's the process. It takes time.
Okay, so we've got paying on time, keeping our credit utilization low, and that a long credit history, it really is valuable. So what about the last two pieces of the puzzle?
All right, so these last two might seem a little less obvious.
Okay.
Number four.
Number four.
This one is 10% of your score. It's called your credit mix. And basically, having different types of credit accounts, you know, like installment loans, things like car loans, mortgages, revolving credit, like credit cards. Having that mix actually shows lenders that you can manage different types of debt responsibly.
Okay, so it's like you're not just, you know, showing you can handle one type of credit, you can handle a portfolio.
Precisely. Showing them that you're diverse, you're adaptable.
Okay, and the final 10%.
That final 10%, that's dedicated to new credit. It's almost like, you know, when you add a new plant to your garden, if you put in too many new plants at once, you know, it can disrupt the whole thing, make it harder for everything to grow.
Right.
Similarly, if you go and apply for too much new credit all at once, it can make lenders a little nervous. It looks like, oh, are they kind of desperate for money? Are they going to be a riskier borrower?
Okay, that makes sense. So we've got all the ingredients: payment history, amounts owed, length of credit history, credit mix, new credit. But how does all that come together into like the actual score? Is it just adding them all up?
It's a little more complicated than that.
Oh, okay.
Remember, each of those factors has a different weight.
Right.
So they all matter,
Right.
but some of them contribute more to the final flavor, let's say,
Okay.
than others. So why don't we look at some real-life examples
Yeah, that'd be great.
to really see how these factors play out
Okay.
and how even small differences in each area can make a pretty big difference in your score.
All right, let's do it. Okay, I'm starting to get it. It's not just about like checking the boxes.
Right.
There are nuances to each part of the credit score.
Absolutely.
But I am kind of surprised at just how much weight they put on payment history. Like if you have one late payment, is that gonna, you know, haunt you forever?
That's a really good question. And honestly, it's a pretty common misconception. While, yes, on-time payments are super important, the good news is the impact of like a single late payment, it isn't always the end of the world. Think about it like you get one bad grade in school. If you've generally got a really strong track record, one slip up, it might not completely tank your GPA.
Oh, okay. So there's hope for redemption. But let's say, you know, life happens
Right.
and you can't avoid a late payment.
Yeah.
How bad is it, really? Like, how much damage are we talking?
Well, it really depends on, I guess, a few different things. Like, how late was the payment? Was it just a one-time thing? For example, if it's just a single 30-day late payment, it might not actually hurt your score too badly, especially if you've got, you know, a solid history of paying on time before that. But if you're consistently late, you know, multiple late payments, especially if they're like 60 days late, 90 days late, that's going to have a much bigger negative impact.
Yeah, like missing a bunch of assignments in a row, the teacher's probably going to be a little concerned at that point.
Exactly.
Okay, so consistency is key when it comes to payments. But what about the amounts owed? You know, we talked about that credit utilization ratio, but how does that like factor into the calculation?
Okay, so it's not just about your overall utilization, you know, like across all your accounts. It also matters what your utilization is on individual cards. So let's say you have two credit cards. Each one has a $5,000 limit. And on one card, you've got a $4,000 balance, and the other one's at zero. So overall, you're at 40% utilization, which is technically above that 30% that we want to stay under. But having one card totally maxed out, that sends a very different signal to lenders than if you kind of spread that out and had a more balanced utilization across both cards.
That's a really good point. It's like trying to balance a scale. Like even if the total weight is within the limit, if it's all on one side, it throws the whole thing off. So it's not just about the big picture, it's about how you're managing each individual account. Okay, so what about the length of credit history? Does it really matter like how old your accounts are?
It really does. Building credit, it's kind of like building trust in any relationship. The longer you've had those accounts open, the more confident the lender feels about, you know, giving you credit. It's like showing that you're a reliable friend.
Okay.
Over time, you build up that reputation.
Yeah.
Keep your promises. You show up when it matters.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. But what if, you know, somebody's just starting out? Like, they're building their credit from scratch. Does that mean they're, like, automatically at a disadvantage?
Not at all. I mean, everyone starts somewhere, right? The important thing is to start building that positive credit history as soon as possible.
Okay.
Even if you just have one credit card, just use it responsibly, pay your bills on time, keep your utilization low, and just like, you know, a young tree.
Yeah.
Your credit history is going to grow stronger over time.
It just needs time to mature.
Exactly.
Okay, so patience is key, especially with credit. So let's move on to credit mix. How much does it matter to have different types of credit?
Okay, so it's not like the biggest factor.
Okay.
But it can definitely give your score a little boost.
Okay.
Having a mix of like installment loans, you know, like a car loan, student loans, and then revolving credit like your credit cards, it shows that you can handle different kinds of financial obligations.
It's like a... having a diverse skill set on your resume, you know, you can handle different challenges.
Exactly, yeah.
But I imagine there's a balance, right? You don't want to just go out and, like, apply for a bunch of loans just to have a good mix.
No, no, absolutely not. Don't try to game the system by opening accounts you don't need. Focus on the credit that that you need, that makes sense for you, and that you can manage responsibly.
Quality over quantity.
Absolutely.
Okay, so last one, new credit. How sensitive is your score to, you know, applying for new credit?
So every time you apply for new credit, a hard inquiry gets put on your credit report. It's kind of like a, you know, a little notch being carved into your credit history.
Okay.
And while one or two of those hard inquiries probably won't make a huge difference, if you have a lot of them in a short period of time, that can make lenders a little suspicious.
Yeah, like if somebody's knocking on your door like a bunch of times in the middle of the night.
Right, exactly.
Your neighbors are probably going to wonder what's going on.
Exactly.
So if you are like shopping around for a loan, like let's say a mortgage, is it better to kind of like do all that research and those applications within a shorter time frame?
Yeah, that's actually a really good strategy because a lot of scoring models, they get it.
Okay.
People shop around.
Yeah.
Especially for big loans.
Yeah.
They want to find the best rate.
Right.
So a lot of times... those models will treat multiple inquiries, like within a 14 to 45 day window.
Correct.
It's just one inquiry.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so it minimizes the impact on your score.
That's a great tip. So we've really dug deep into like how each factor works.
Yeah.
But let's bring it back to the listener.
For sure.
Why should they care about all this? How can they use this to, you know, make their financial lives better?
Exactly.
All right, so we've gone through all the mystery, right, of credit scores.
Absolutely.
We've seen, like, what's in there, how they all work together.
Exactly.
But now let's talk about, like, what can you do, our listener, you know, to actually take control, boost that score.
It's one thing to know the recipe, right?
Yeah.
But you got to cook the dish.
That's a good point, yeah.
Yeah.
You can just read about it.
Right.
So what's, like, the biggest thing, what's the most impactful thing that people can do, like, right now, to improve their credit score?
You know, it really all comes back to those on-time payments.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most important factor for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Lenders, they really want to see that you're going to be reliable, that you're responsible.
Makes sense.
You know, it's like building a house. You need that solid foundation.
Yeah, for sure.
Without it, nothing else is going to stand up.
Okay, so set those reminders.
Yeah.
Automate payments.
Exactly.
Whatever you got to do.
Whatever it takes.
To avoid those late marks.
Yeah.
What else can people do to, you know, really strengthen their credit?
That credit utilization ratio.
Hmm.
Remember that.
Yeah.
Keeping that low is super important.
Okay.
You want to aim for that, you know, sweet spot.
Yeah.
Under 30%.
Under 30.
It's like, think about your energy levels.
Okay.
You know, if you're always running at 100%.
Yeah.
You're going to burn out eventually.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you kind of operate with a little bit of reserve, you can handle those unexpected things.
Right. It's that cushion.
Exactly.
That buffer.
Yeah.
So pay down those balances. You know, maybe focus on the cards with the highest interest rates first.
That's a good strategy.
What about like opening new credit accounts? Is that a good thing or is that something to like stay away from?
You know, it's kind of both.
Okay.
Remember those hard inquiries.
Yeah.
When you apply for new credit, each one is... like leaving a little footprint on your credit report.
Okay.
And if you have a bunch of those footprints in a short period of time, lenders get a little, they get a little wary.
Okay. So it's not about like never opening new credit.
Right.
It's about like being intentional, knowing why you're doing it.
Exactly.
What other proactive steps can our listeners take to like manage their credit, keep it healthy?
This might seem obvious, but you got to check those credit reports regularly. You can actually get a free report from each of the three big credit bureaus.
Oh, wow.
Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion.
Mm-hmm.
Once a year.
Okay.
Just go to annualcreditreport.com.
Super helpful.
Yeah.
But why is that so important? What are we even looking for when we, pull those reports?
Think of it like checking your bank statements for errors.
Okay.
You want to be sure everything's accurate, up to date.
Right.
Because sometimes, you know, mistakes happen. And those mistakes, they can really impact your score.
Negatively. So it's not just about like protecting yourself from fraud. It's about making sure that that credit report really reflects, you know, what's going on with your finances.
Exactly.
Man, we've covered a lot of ground today.
We have.
And I think for me, the big takeaway is just that credit scores, they aren't just like some random number.
No.
They really tell a story about our financial habits, our choices.
Absolutely.
But, yeah.
And the best part is, you actually have the power to change that story.
Mm-hmm.
You can make different choices.
Yeah.
And improve your score over time. And you don't do anything crazy, just small, consistent actions.
Yeah.
That's what's going to lead to those big financial benefits down the road. Lower interest rates, better perks on your credit cards, just peace of mind, you know?
Yeah.
It's all within reach.
So knowing all this, what's one thing our listener can do differently today? Like to start making those improvements. Maybe it's setting up those automatic payments we were talking about. Or, hey, maybe it's finally checking that credit report. Whatever it is, just take that first step.
Yeah, just start.
Keep going.
And remember, it's a journey, not a destination.
That's a good point.
So keep learning, keep exploring. When it comes to managing your money, there's always something new to discover.
That's what the deep dive is all about.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us.